Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
We are teaching on the doctrine of Calvinism, and the doctrine of Calvinism has 5 points, and those 5 points are total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. There is an acrostic to help you remember those 5 doctrines, those 5 points of Calvinism. The acrostic is TULIP, T-U-L-I-P. T is for total depravity, U is for unconditional election, L is for limited atonement, I is for irresistible grace, and P for the perseverance of the saints. And that's how you remember the 5 points of Calvinism. Now, the doctrine of Calvinism says basically that Jesus died only for the saved, and they have already been elected to salvation, and yet the damned, those for whom Jesus Christ did not die, have no way to be saved. They couldn't be saved if they wanted to because Christ didn't die for them. And they are too depraved to come to him on their own. That's the basic doctrine, the summary of the doctrine of Calvinism. Now, we've taught on limited atonement, and we've taught on irresistible grace. Today, we're going to talk about total depravity. Total depravity. Total depravity is the doctrine that teaches that man is born with a nature that is alienated from God and is in rebellion to God. The total man is depraved, and he will, therefore, never seek God or choose Jesus Christ by his own free will in order to be saved. Well, the obvious conclusion then is he must be born again by the Lord before he can even believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you hear, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, but if the doctrine of total depravity is true, the way that it's taught in the 5 points of Calvinism, a man could never believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unless he were already born again. Now, there are a number of verses in the Bible that are used to prove or to support the doctrine of total depravity. Let me just give you some of these verses so that you can see how convincing, really, the posture is. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Before the flood, God said in Genesis 6, 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So you see, if every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually, then there's no way he's going to seek God or have a desire to be with God, because the only thoughts he has in his heart are evil thoughts. They're only evil continually. Psalm 51. Now you realize these verses are just right there without a context. They're just taken as they are. And so that can pose a problem. But nevertheless, notice Psalm 51 verse 5. David says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And this is to teach that you have a sin nature. and that sin nature is alienated from God and is in rebellion against God. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, an excellent verse of Scripture. Now, by the way, I believe these verses. Don't think for a minute that I don't, or that I want to change them, or that I don't believe they say what they say. I do believe them. I know how much I am, and I'm sure you are too, plagued by evil thoughts, or have to really, you know, stay on guard there. That's why Paul told us to think on things that are good and honest and true and of pure and of good report. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the Bible says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You see that? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 7 was explaining to the Pharisees about what it takes for a man to be defiled. And they were thinking that a man could be defiled by not washing his hands and eating something. And he said, look, you don't wash your hands and eat something, that doesn't defile you. It goes in and it goes out. He said, I'll tell you what defiles you. Mark chapter 7 and verse 20, he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now you see where this is going. Where this is going is there's nothing good in the man whatsoever, and as a result, he would never, on his own, or under any circumstance, choose to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior, or even look to God for salvation, because his depraved nature would always keep him alienated from God and in rebellion to God. Look at Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. Here's a great example. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we who know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, you know something? Stopping right here before we continue. The truth of the matter is all these verses that you've seen here, a man should understand about himself. A woman should understand about herself. It shows you and it shows me our need of salvation, because on our own, there's nothing in us of any redeemable value. We have no merit for salvation. We do not deserve heaven. Everything that God did for us in the way of salvation, he did by the grace of God and by his own mercy. We don't deserve this at all, because we are wicked. And the more that a person could see himself as wicked, the more he could see his need of Jesus Christ. But total depravity would say, even if he saw his need of Jesus Christ, he would never turn to receive him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 tells you why. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So he said, if a man is a natural man and has all this in his system that's against God, how in the world would he ever come to God? Particularly since, as a result of sin, he's dead, spiritually speaking, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, when you see all that, you think, well, man, the doctrine of total depravity has to be right. Because look, every man is guilty. We're all defiled by the things that come out of our heart. The heart is desperately wicked, shapen in iniquity. The thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. The natural man receiveth not the things of God because they are spiritually discerned, and he's dead in trespasses and sins. How in the world could he be saved? You see? Now, you know something? I believe every one of these verses. I just don't believe that they result in the doctrine of total depravity, but I can tell you what. I believe every one of those verses, and I believe every one of those verses applies to me, and I can see in my life at some point and even now where those verses have validity. They're all true, absolutely true. But you know something? There are other verses in the Bible, not to take away from these. We could sit and explain through each one of these. But I want to show you something in the Bible that's very interesting in light of the fact that all these verses are so, and they are true. They show you what's in man. They show you the condition of a man's heart, and they show you the fact that he is dead in trespasses and sins. But you know what? They do not preclude a man from doing things to indicate his desire to be saved. They do not preclude a man from repenting after being reproved by the Spirit of God. And they do not preclude or prevent a man from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ once he has heard the gospel revealed to him by the words of God and the Spirit of God. Look at these verses that are contrary to the doctrine of total depravity. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. I think it's one of the greatest testimonies in the Bible to the fact that a person can be doing some things to indicate his desire to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, if he knew who he were, and have the Lord Jesus Christ preach to him, and then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Acts chapter 10 is all about Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. That's in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Now watch, verse 2. Look at it. A devout man. Now, people that teach you the doctrine of total depravity will say, you know, total depravity doesn't preclude a man from doing good things toward each other and you know, being charitable and all those other kind of things. But notice, listen, watch what God does with what you're seeing here. He's a devout man, number one. He feared God with all his house. Now, he's not a saved man, but he fears God. That tells me that even though Romans chapter 3 tells you the condition of men and that they don't fear God, there are men who do fear God. And Cornelius was one of them. With all his house, in other words, he taught his family to fear God. Not only that, he gave much alms to the people. So he was a very charitable man. And watch it. In verse 2, he prayed to God always. He was a praying man. You say, well, there are all kind of religious people who are lost and on their way to hell that pray. Nevertheless, you say, they're still totally depraved. Watch it. Look, we're talking about a man having an alienation from God and being in rebellion against God, so much so that he cannot believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in this case, Cornelius didn't know him yet, but he was devout. He feared God. He gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. Look at verse 22. And notice the men who referred him to Peter said about Cornelius that he's a just man and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. We're still talking about a lost man, but God is beginning to extend this man some mercy. And when God showed him that he needed to send for Peter, Cornelius obeyed. And we're still talking about a lost man. All right, now, in verse 34, notice what Peter said about what he's seen when he goes to Cornelius. Watch it. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Wow. You know what that says? That says, here's a man who feared God, though he was lost, and worked righteousness, and what he was doing caused God to accept him. Not save him, not yet, but God accepted what he was doing. That's why he said, thine alms and thy prayers are come up as a memorial before God in verse 4. Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Wow. You know what he's saying? Here is a man who's not saved yet, but who, if he knew how to be saved, would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He is indicating by his works of righteousness and by his fear of God and by his alms and his prayers and his devotion and his justice that he wants to be saved. He wants eternal life. And the Lord recognizes that. And in verse 4, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. There are people that will teach you God doesn't hear prayer until a man gets saved. He certainly heard Cornelius's. These are not the works of a totally depraved man. And yet these are not the works of a saved man either. Not yet. And you know what God did? God replied to Cornelius according to Romans chapter 2. Don't leave Acts 10. You can keep a finger there so you can come back to it. But he replied to Cornelius according to Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. In Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, we read what God does when he encounters a man like Cornelius. Paul says to the Romans, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works, or his deeds, excuse me. Now watch it. Look at verse 7, because this is the deal right here. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. You know what he's saying? He renders to every man according to his deeds. He renders to a man who by patience, continuance, and well-doing seeks for glory, honor, and immortality. You know what he renders to him? Eternal life. How? Through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. There is no respect of persons with God. That's what Peter said when he saw Cornelius. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, and there is no respect of persons with God, Jew or Gentile. If a man is seeking for glory, honor, and immortality, God will show him eternal life in Jesus Christ. And you know what? He calls for Peter. Peter comes in and preaches Jesus Christ from verse 36 right on down to verse 42, and watch what happens in verse 43. Peter says, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, watch it, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. You know what they did? They believed in him. And when they did, the Spirit of God saved them. You say, well, I don't believe it happened like that. I believe that God hit them with irresistible grace and they didn't have a choice. Whoa, hang on. Acts chapter 11. Peter's telling the story to the Jews who want to know why he was hanging around with the Gentiles. And here's what he said in verse 15. He's recounting the story to them. He said, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I with the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water. Watch it. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I could withstand God? The condition is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what God did? He saved them and gave them the Spirit of God. And they were baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. Do you understand? Cornelius was not saved by his works. Not at all. He was saved by the grace of God. But what he was doing indicated to God that he wanted to be saved. He didn't know how. And so the preacher came and showed him how to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you the order of these things that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and look with me in verses 12 and 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Watch what happens. Paul is explaining to the Ephesians how they got saved and what happened to them when they did get saved. In whom ye also trusted. Context, Jesus Christ in verse 12. In whom also you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Let's read it again. We'll begin with verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's the order. That's the order. What happens? Peter comes in and preaches to Cornelius. They hear the word of the truth and believe it and trust in Christ, and then they get the Spirit of God. Look at it again in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, look at verses 13 and 14. And Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, lay it out for you in reverse order. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what do they got to do before they call? Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? All right, so they got to believe first. Well, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So they got to hear first. And how shall they hear without a preacher? So somebody's got to preach the gospel first. So the order is, the gospel is preached, they hear, those who believe call upon the name of the Lord, those who call upon the name of the Lord are saved. Listen, I agree that everything we read in Genesis 6, 5, Psalm 51, 5, Jeremiah 17, 9, Mark 7, 20 to 23, Romans 3, 10 to 18, 1 Corinthians 2, 14, and Ephesians 2, 1 to 3 are true. I believe all that. But a man is not so alienated from God and so in rebellion against God that he can't hear the preaching of the gospel, that he can't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him to be saved. Your heart is not so depraved that you cannot believe. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God gives you the faith of Christ to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you believe. Look with me in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and look at verse 14. He lays it out for you just right here. In John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, Jesus Christ says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So he's saying, whatever Moses did out there with that serpent in the wilderness, Son of Man needs to be lifted up. Why? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's conditioned on believing in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you go back to Numbers chapter 21 to see what was going on with that serpent, listen, it's just a matter of choice. These people were sinning against God and spake against Moses. And you know what happened? God put fiery serpents out there that bit the people, and a lot of people died. They came in repentance in verse 7 of Numbers chapter 21 and said, we've sinned. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. The Lord said in verse 8 to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. So he made that serpent of brass, put it on a pole. If any serpent had bit any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Do you understand? If they looked, they lived, and if they didn't look, they died. If you believe, you have everlasting life, and if you don't believe, you perish. You see how it works? In Acts chapter 28, when Paul is preaching the kingdom of God to a bunch of Jews that have come to hear him preach, the Bible says some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. In Acts 28:24. In other words, you don't perish because of your depravity. You perish for your refusal to receive the cure of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes into the world to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, why? Because they believe not on me. You know what Paul said in Hebrews? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I mean, it's just like in the Gospels. The ones who believed Jesus and wanted to be healed came to him and they were healed. The ones who didn't believe didn't come to him and therefore they weren't healed. Read Mark chapter 6. You decide. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You understand then? It's true that our hearts are wicked, but we are not so depraved and so alienated from God that when we hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ under the preaching of the Spirit of God, we are not so depraved that we cannot decide. Listen, the choice is left up to you. And I suggest to you, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.